The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to your death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Speak to you in the name of one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. King Herod, remembered in the New Testament as the cruel and paranoid king, client king of Judea, is also remembered by historians and archaeologists as quite the builder. The temple in Jerusalem was the jewel of his architectural feats. And by the time Jesus and his disciples gazed up at its walls, Herod's rebuilding project had more than doubled the size of the Temple Mount. The enormous hand-chiseled stone blocks measured 8 feet high and 8 feet on each side and rose high above the city streets. Even by today's standards, it was a sight to behold, a sight that would leave you in a state of awe. And one could imagine the disciples' distraction as they marveled at the grandeur of the most holy place in Israel. One could also imagine their shock when Jesus said, "You see this magnificent building? Not one stone will be left. All will be thrown down." And one can also imagine their shock when Jesus continued on about false prophets and wars, insurrections, earthquakes, famines, and plagues. And just when they think it can't get any worse, Jesus makes it personal. "You will be arrested. You will be persecuted. You will be thrown into prison and betrayed by family." Yikes. Who invited apocalyptic Jesus? As one Episcopal priest writes, "Buckle your seatbelts, good people of God, because Advent is around the corner and apocalyptic Jesus is at the wheel." And around this time of year, as we approach Advent, we start to hear these apocalyptic readings intended to wake us up from our stupor as we prepare for the coming of Christ. And indeed, this is an alarming reading, one that doesn't come with easy answers. But Jesus, and the church for that matter, aren't in the business of handing out easy answers. Those are for bumper stickers and cute sayings we hang on our walls. Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, was most likely writing his gospel in the first century, well after the actual destruction of the temple in 70 CE. And the earliest readers of this text had likely seen the destruction of what Jesus foresaw, and they could easily imagine disaster knocking on the door. In this gospel story, people who hear Jesus' warning ask, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" They're really asking, how do we live today not knowing what comes tomorrow? And despite the challenging rhetoric of this lesson, Jesus' words offer a profound theological truth. This lesson, for all its frightening language, is about living faithfully, trusting that God never gives up on us, that even in the midst of turmoil, we are called to be a people of resurrection. Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and in the year 70 CE, it actually happened. The Roman army reduced the magnificent temple to rubble. Yet, Jerusalem rose from the ashes. Jesus suffers a horrific death at the hands of the Roman Empire, but then Sunday rolls around and there's resurrection. Jesus never promises that things will be easy or pain-free or we will avoid death. He doesn't deny the reality of divisions and suffering in the world. But what Jesus does promise is that when all seems down and out, when all seems over and done, God is with us. God's word wins out. The writer of Luke's gospel tells us that our reaction to the events in this morning's lesson should not be to bury our heads in the sand or hide behind our fears, but instead, he says, all this will give you an opportunity to testify. Jesus says, "I will give you words and a wisdom." On August 12th of 2017, as I was climbing into bed, I checked my Twitter feed, a bad habit, I know, and I remember my feed being full of videos and tweets of what was happening in Charlottesville, Virginia that evening. Hundreds of white supremacists carrying torches and marching across the campus of the University of Virginia. It was a terrifying sight. Nazi sympathizers in 2017 marching, spitting hate and violence. But I also remember that in the midst of that violence and hate, those who gathered that night at St. Paul's Memorial Episcopal Church on the University of Virginia campus, right smack in the middle of where the white supremacists were holding their demonstrations. And in the face of fear and intimidation, faithful people from around the area gathered for prayer and the singing of hymns, a counterstatement of justice and peace. Our faith gives us the courage and calls us to stand up against racism, bigotry, and all forms of evil that oppose the kingdom of heaven. On Thursday morning, many of us watched in fear and heartache and outright anger as news came in of another mass shooting, this one close to home. 3 young people died as a result. Families once again mourn and ask why. Gun violence has become an epidemic in our country. Our faith calls us as Christians to speak and to act decisively against this sort of violence. Violence that cuts short the lives of God's children and leaves unimaginable trauma and grief. What are we doing as Christians to respond? Bishop Michael Curry, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, often talks about how the life and the teaching of Jesus show us another way that is counterintuitive to the ways of the world. I mean, who actually says things like, blessed are the poor and the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful? Who, when they're being tortured and put to death on a cross, says things like, Father, forgive them? That kind of unselfish love is counter to the ways of this world. But as Bishop Curry says, it's the only thing that can change this world. Faith, our trust in God, names the reality of division, of suffering, of injustice that plagues our world, and calls us to another way, the way of God. Just as the disciples were distracted by the grandeur of the temple, so too can we be distracted by the many things in our lives, never turning off our email, hours spent gazing at our phones, our addictive behaviors. There is plenty to keep us numb and drowsy to this precious life that God has shaped us for. Gospel readings like the one we heard this morning bring our attention to what it means to live faithfully in the reality of heartache and tragedy. I wish I had an easy answer for you on how to do this, but I don't. However, I do know that just a couple weeks ago, we baptized 4 young people here at St. Cross. And as a community, we vowed in our baptismal covenant to persevere in resisting evil, to proclaiming the good news of God in Christ, to serving Christ in all persons, to loving our neighbors as ourselves, to striving for justice and peace among all people, and to respecting the dignity of every human being. It's into this world that Jesus comes to show us another way, a way of love, a way of resurrection. How are we living a life of love and resurrection in the realities of the world today? Amen.